This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Bethel's Department of Motor Vehicles office will open 4 days next week after being closed for more than a month. Residents must make appointments online or by phone to get a driver's license or other forms of identification or take a written driving test. The DMV urges residents to renew licenses online to reduce the number of people coming into the office. Bethel's DMV office has been closed since April 13th because the person running it resigned. So the agency is sending someone from Anchorage to open it up just for next week. The hours next week are May 26th through the 28th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and open May 29th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And moving on to school news, there are at least four changes in the Lower Kuskokwim School District's top administrative positions in Bethel for the next school year. But they're all familiar faces. Current Assistant Superintendent Kimberly Hankins' promotion to superintendent caused a ripple effect going all the way to Bethel Regional High School. Current Director of Operations Ed Picard was promoted to Hankins' former position as Assistant Superintendent with a starting salary of $145,000. Then Bethel's current high school principal Doug Boyer was promoted into Picard's position with a starting salary of $138,000. And Alicia Miner, current vice principal at Bethel Regional High School, took over as principal with a salary of $118,000. Superintendent Dan Walker, who will be retiring at the end of this school year, said the Bethel Advisory School Board was involved in the selection for the BRHS principal. And in city news, after almost a year of searching, the city of Bethel has found a new police chief. Richard Simmons is the candidate. He and the city have agreed to a conditional offer of employment, but he still needs a background check and confirmation from the city council to finalize the agreement. The council's decision to increase the police chief's position salary to $140,000 is said to have been key to attracting a suitable candidate. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
Richard Simmons has not finalized his start date as police chief with the city, but the current acting police chief says he's indicated it will be sometime in late July. Simmons currently serves the Fort Worth Police Department in Texas, where he's worked for 25 years. He's a lieutenant and commander of the Forensics and Economic Crime Section there. Simmons also served in the U.S. Marine Corps as First Sergeant, has a Master's in Criminal Justice Leadership and Management, and graduated from the FBI National Academy. Plus, he has Acting Police Chief Amy Davis's blessing.
He seems very personable, and he's involved in a lot of different community things over there in Fort Worth. I feel comfortable leaving now after, you know, getting to know him.
Bethel residents will soon get to decide if they agree with Davis, who will be leaving Bethel to serve as a lieutenant in the Fairbanks Police Department starting July 1st. Even though she'll be gone before the new chief is ready to go on duty, she says she'll fly back to Bethel on her days off to help Simmons ramp up. And city manager Vinny Carrazza says during that gap, he can serve as acting police chief.
But administratively, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm just be signing in timesheets and that kind of stuff.
Earlier this month, the city council increased the budget for the police chief's salary to $140,000 from $114,000. Both Davis and Carrazza said that was essential to attracting a quality candidate like Simmons. Simmons is scheduled to be in Bethel June 8th for a meet and greet with the public. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And rural Alaska communities were decimated by previous pandemics. The 1918 flu is said to have come to Nome with the mail on the SS Victoria. It killed 162 residents in 8 days. So far, though, history has not repeated itself with COVID-19. Leaders in the tribal healthcare system at a conference hosted by the U.S. Naval War College on Zoom says their biggest limitation has a potentially life-saving upside. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
The challenge of transporting people and goods became doubly hard as healthcare administrators in rural Alaska prepared to fend off the coronavirus and Raven Air went out of business. Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation Chief of Staff Ellen Hodges says it's difficult to get lab samples and patients from the villages to the hub city of Bethel, where the YKHC hospital is.
We're grateful for the help from our local airlines who have tried to step up and help us out, but there's just not enough planes and pilots here to get our region the services that they need.
But YKHC and Manilak, the Kotzebue-based healthcare association, turned that challenge into an asset. Manilak President Tim Gilbert says it became obvious that if the virus arrives in the Northwest Arctic, it would come by airplane.
So we have a little place over by airport where we offer rapid testing to anybody walking off, and not everybody takes it, but an increasing number are.
At the Bethel Airport, YKHC's rapid testing service identified an asymptomatic passenger on May 15. The passenger had transited through to the village of Nunapichuk and, once informed of the positive test result, isolated there, apparently halting the spread of the virus. Some 300 other villagers tested negative.
Huge win to catch that case.
Bob Anders is an executive at Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, the Anchorage-based organization that regional doctors applaud for supplying them with enough testing kits and personal protective equipment to nip isolated cases in the bud. Anders says airport testing isn't a nationally recommended practice, but it works for rural Alaska.
We know from previous pandemics that there's going to be a potential disproportional effect, so there needs to be a disproportional response related to testing, PPE, all these other protective measures. We need to respond four times as hard if we want to prevent a four times mortality.
Bering Straits Native Corporation CEO Gail Schubert says it's not hard for people in her region to imagine the worst-case scenario because their families endured it a few generations ago.
We still have memories, institutional memories, of when the last epidemic hit and wiped out our villages. And so I think that that made people a lot more aware of what could possibly happen.
Schubert says knowledge of that history spurred village leaders to take early action this spring to block visitors. The big challenge ahead, healthcare leaders say, is to keep communities safe as the start of fishing season and other summer activities remove the protective effect of their relative isolation. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And finally, a special hunt has opened for two muskoxen stranded on a barren island. The unnamed island is located less than a mile south of Nunavik Island. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has more.
Boaters from Mokoryuk spotted the muskoxen on Monday. In a cell phone photo, at least one of the muskox appears to be a mature bull. The Alaska Department of Fishing Game opened a special hunt for the animals because their chances of survival on the unnamed island are low. The special hunt opened yesterday and lasts through June 30th. Permits will be issued to Alaska resident hunters via phone from the Bethel Fishing Game office. Tag fees are waived for this hunt, and one muskox may be harvested per person. The small island where the two muskoxen are located is approximately 15 acres in size and has no freshwater source and little vegetation. Many similar islands surround the much larger Nunavik Island, where a thriving muskox herd lives. Occasionally, the animals hitch a ride on an ice floe or walk across the sea ice to one of these nearby islands. When the ice recedes, they find themselves stranded. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.